Welcome to the Survival Prepper Show, where being labeled a crazy prepper is a badge of honor. Learn about disaster preparedness, survival, and get ready for whatever challenges might come your way. This is not your typical prepping podcast, and they won't be silenced by the censors. Here are your hosts, Duff and Dale.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome to the show. Tonight, we're going to start this out on YouTube. We weren't going to do that, but because we've got a couple preparedness topics and something we want to talk about with Grumpy Acres and some long-term food storage stuff, we decided to do that here. But we are going to be ending this show here in about 20 minutes or so, and then we're going to Rumble because we're going to talk about some stuff that's going on in France. We're going to talk about Bidenomics. I don't know if anybody knows what the bonus hole is that I put on the title, but we're going to talk about that too. So just so you know, on YouTube, we're going to head over there. Joe's in the chat here too. What's up, Joe, on YouTube? I was messaged back and forth with him a little bit earlier this week, and he found an article about the because you talk about the Patriot Act all the time, get all right. heated with it. So he found something that is pretty interesting, and I wanted to get your thoughts on that as well. So we are going to talk about that in the Rumble section, Joe. So, at any rate, what's going on with you? How you doing this week?
Good, man. Just plugging away, you know, doing the internet stuff and trying to enjoy life, man.
Yeah. I've had my head buried in the bug out location, the new membership website, for like 2 weeks straight now. I finally got the free course done. Yeah. And it's fantastic. It's really cool, but it's just a whole lot of work and once I get involved in that, nothing else around me exists. I just focus in on the bug out location, but it's going to be pretty cool. Once I start working on that prepping 101 course, which is about five times bigger than the one I just finished.
Right.
but I've got all the resources uploaded. I've got not all of them. I've got like 50 resources, which are like PDFs and survival guides and stuff. And I've still got probably over 100 more to add and just a whole lot of stuff. But it's going to be fantastic. So, and if anybody is interested in that, go to thebugoutlocation.com. It's the old version right now, or the current version. The new version will be out in about a month or so. So I suppose we'll start off with talking about, you were just on Grumpy Acres show last week on Thursday, which is a really good show. You guys talked about quite a few different things, the mental stuff, and then some things that are going on now. And then we were on with him and Tag a while back, and they're doing the homesteading stuff. So the show you were on got me thinking about the prepper conventions and the meetups and things like that. So I want to talk about that. But before I get into that, he sent you some of the food that they make, right? The freeze-dried food.
Yeah, it's good stuff, man.
Yeah, it's really good. I tried some today.
Did you try the freeze-dried Skittles?
No, I've still, because I talked to you and you were talking about how you plowed through all the Skittles.
Skittles. Like, the fact that Skittles doesn't make freeze-dried Skittles, because the freeze-dried Skittles are so much better than regular Skittles. I'm not a big candy eater, but those freeze-dried Skittles were pretty good.
Yeah, I've been fighting myself all week, me and Lisa both, not to open this thing, because I know if I'd open it, it'd been the same situation you were in. I'd have eaten them all.
What are you going to do with it?
I'm going to the show.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
But I did open the strawberries today. And these are fantastic. The strawberries, when you rehydrate them, they're good, but the freeze-dried strawberries are better. They're fantastic. So this is one of those things where it's like, yeah, if you're putting it on oatmeal or something or cereal, sure, rehydrate them. But if not, I mean, just mow them straight out of the bag. That's what I did. They're fantastic.
Yeah, they're good that way. It's like kind of like potato chips, only different.
Yeah. Or like if you, you know, even if you put them freeze dried on your cereal, it's kind of like the little marshmallows that come in the cereal where they're crunchy in the beginning and then get kind of
the freeze dried marshmallows that are in the.
Yeah. Same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy how that freeze drying on marshmallows and freeze drying on strawberries kind of works. What are you doing over there?
I'm opening this bag because I want to taste these Skittles and see, except I can't get a grip on the damn. Oh, man.
Just open the top, dude. Grab it and pull.
I'm going to grab my knife. Should have opened this earlier instead of having a fight.
Do you need a knife to open it?
All right. But I just want to taste it because everybody.
Well, look, hey, look at this fancy thing here, right? You get it? And you just open it up. No knife needed. It just opens.
No, but you got it. The top is sealed. No. Okay. So they expand.
Pretty good,
right?
Isn't it? Yeah. That's that. It pops it open when it freeze dries. It takes all the water out of it, and so that's what's left.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Those are good. But I went on this dehydrated or freeze dried food kind of. I cooked a bunch of different things today. Their pot roast. I cooked this today, and it's basically you take 2 cups of boiling water, and then you just. Yeah. What I did is I split it into two. I had one where I just put the water in the pouch, kind of like you do with Mountain House food. And then the other one I put in a pot and boiled it and stirred it around a little bit. The one in the pouch actually looks a lot better because you're not stirring it around. So it looks fantastic. And it really is fantastic. I mean, it's good food. It tastes just like you would expect a pot roast to taste. And it's got the meat and the vegetables and everything in there.
With buying
the one problem with putting it in the bag, though,
what?
Is that it's the same thing applies to a Mountain House or anything that you put in the bag. Sometimes you get those areas where the moisture doesn't quite get back into it. So you get a little bit of a crusty piece.
You got to stir it.
Yeah, but that's hard to do when it's in the bag.
No, man, you get it. You don't. What kind of spoon are you using? Like some little stubby spoon? You get one of the long. Get a long spoon and stick it down there and spur up. The great thing about the bags is you don't need a bowl or anything to eat it out of, right? You put your hot water in it and you get it right out of the bag.
Yeah.
Get yourself a longer spoon and stir it up a little bit or shake it, squish it around.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what I did. I folded up the top and then shook it around, but I was doing 14 things all at once. So, but it works either way, which is kind of cool. So they'd be cool meals for camping, for a bug out situation, not going to be your long-term food storage stuff, because buying that much in these little pouches is just outrageous. They've got their website here, which is, they're about $15. And I wanted to show this cause they've also, we talked about the strawberries. We talked about the Skittles. She's actually makes, ice cream bars. I mean, a few different, just kind of really cool items. But the one that I ate today and the couple that I'm going to try later on, they're $15. And when you think about the cost of, like, say, Mountain House or something, Mountain House is like $11 for 4 ounces. So it's pretty comparable to what Mountain House is, basically, is what I'm saying. And you're helping preppers out.
And here's the thing with it, right? Grumpy's a prepper.
Yeah.
Like the stuff is good. It tastes good. It's not loaded up with as much sodium. Like the Mountain House and stuff is all loaded with sodium and all that kind of stuff. And you know, they're preppers making food for preppers.
Yeah.
Right. You don't get that with these other places. There are places that are commercial brands that market the preppers like, well, we'll go take your money. You know, Mountain House is like one of the most disappointing that I've ever found because, you know, 2,000 servings in a bucket. Then you get into the bucket and it's like, 2,000 like 100 calorie servings, right? It's not, you know, it's they have misleading marketing on their stuff. So the other cool thing with Grumpy, email him through his website if you want to special order something or if you want to get, you know, a bulk of things and talk to him. He'll work with you on things.
Yeah. And like I said last week on my show, it's you're supporting other preppers. You're getting, I mean, if you've never tried freeze-dried food, I really hadn't before other than the big brand legacy and things like that. You know, Brandon has talked about, a few people have talked about how they have the Harvest Right. It's fantastic. That meal, you could tell, it almost needed a little bit of salt. Whereas, because I tried some Legacy, and let me put this picture up. This is the chili from Legacy, which is pretty good, but you can tell that it's got the salt and stuff, right? It's just got that long-term food storage taste. And then this is the Mountain House, which I'm a fan of Mountain House, even though you think they're misleading or whatever. I love the Chili Mac. And honestly, I don't know about their other stuff, but the Chili Mac, that is just good stuff. But it, you can almost taste the, it's just got that long-term food storage taste. I don't know if that's the salt, the preservatives, what it is, but, and Legacy really isn't that bad compared to a lot of other ones, but Grumpy's, and I call it Grumpy Pot Roast. It's just like, if you were to say you had your kids or your family and they didn't know that this came out of a pouch, you put it in a dish or something before they even knew that it came out of a pouch, they'd have no idea. Because it tastes just like a regular meal. So just really good stuff.
Oh, I was actually thinking too, Wise is one that tells you it's 300 servings or something like that. It gives you a ton of servings. And then it's, you know, like you're getting a lot, but then they're really small calorie servings.
Yeah.
So like it's, you know, half or whatever it is, like, you know, you're not going to get the nutrition out of it you think you are. When I first bought freeze dried food, I bought some Wise. And then later on, you start looking at the calories. And it's like, wait a minute, this isn't what they're advertising.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, and I talked about that last week on my show too, with four Patriots or something like that, doing their little $20 or $30 72-hour kit, they call it. Whereas Legacy Foods is like 115, but Legacy Foods is 12,000 calories, over 12,000 calories. Where the four Patriots is like 4,800, I believe, something like that. So three times as much for a 72-hour.
That's what is that, like 1,600 or something, 1,500 calories? 1,600 calories a day.
Yeah. But that's how
It should be. It should be four Patriots diet.
The SHTF diet plan. Yeah, just go to four Patriots, get all your food from them. Yeah. Brandon said in the chat, he said, we actually had a bunch of freeze-dried meals this week. Went camping all week. Freeze-dried meals were from 2019. Perfect, yeah. That is one thing I want to get. That is on my. That is on the very top of my wish list, is a Harvest-Rite. Start doing some of this stuff myself. So, hey, All-American Prepper in the chat on YouTube. What's going on, All-American Prepper?
Oh, cool, man.
Yeah, hey, we'll have to get you on with me and Brian sometime, All-American Prepper. That'll be an interesting show. one last thing before we end this, the YouTube thing, and go head over to Strictly Rumble. I just wanted to get your thoughts on prepper conventions and the meetups, and because you're going to be at prepper camp. You guys were talking about on Grumpy Acres that what he's doing, and I think it's the Midwest Preparedness Project. Let me see if I can share this tab. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on it, because there are some things that I've gone to, Lisa and I've gone to a couple, and most of the time, and nothing like an outdoor setting like this, the meetup type thing. Most of the time, the conventions themselves are sort of disappointing to me. And you go there and it's just a whole bunch of booths, people trying to sell stuff. There's maybe a couple classes, but people don't talk, interact, or anything like that. But something like this, or even, let me share this one, Prepper Camp here. These, I think, would be a little bit different. And I've never gone to
Prepper Camp
anything like this. Well, let me turn off Jane there. What are your thoughts on, say, just the regular conventions? And then you've been to Prepper Camp before as a guest. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think you need to do your research, right? A lot of the prepper, like they'd say, oh, we have a prepper expo this weekend. And it's just what you said. It's like it's a swap meet, not even really a swap meet. It's a bunch of people there with vendor booths, and they're selling stuff, as opposed to, it's like a gun show minus the guns, right?
Yeah.
They're not there, getting a lot of courses. I'd say go on to, when you look to go to a place, see how many classes they're offering.
Yeah.
Right. Cause I hear story after story of people that go to these and they end up going, they're like, there's hardly anybody there. There was like nothing going on. So do your due diligence. I think if you're going to look at some of the stuff these days, look at more of, like, prepper is always money, right? You got a couple thousand people go there. There's 80 some courses. I don't even know how many vendors Rick puts into that place, you know, dozens of vendors. That's always money. And look at the homesteading shows, like the places where it's more the self-reliant shows and stuff like that. But do your due diligence on it, man. See what they've had. Look at the photos, if they have a photo gallery up. see, you know, is there like one or two people walking around or is it crowded? You know, look, do a little bit of diligence on it before you go pay money to go anywhere and check those places out.
Yeah. The one thing, and I've known this about Prepper Camp, but they've got some big names there. Some people that really know their stuff. The Midwest Preparedness Project, you listen to Tag and Grumpy and some of the people that they have, you know, in that community, some of those people that are online, they know their stuff. So it's, and you, again, you look at both of those websites and you see the sort of interaction there is, you see, you know, how it could be fun. You go out. I've even had comments from a couple listeners, a couple fans talking about, you got to make it out there. You got to do this. So I do want to try something like that. It's just the, and maybe it is for somebody. You mentioned the gun shows. I think it's sort of like, cause I like to go to gun shows as opposed to going to a prepper, a convention or something, because at least with a gun show, you're looking at with all the prepper stuff, it's basically, yeah, there's some new trinkets and gadgets, but that's what it is. And they're trinkets and gadgets. Well, whereas, you know, at a gun show, it's all, I guess, useful, right? I mean, it just,
you can go on Amazon and get most of the stuff that you see laid out on tables at prep that are just prepper shows, right?
At the convention.
Yeah. So it's, to me, I want to go to a place where I can meet with people, I can have conversations, I can listen to somebody talk, and, you know, what's their perspective on things. And so, like I said, just do your due diligence on it.
Yeah. I am going to have to, you know, I don't do much as far as getting off my ass and going places, but I do need to get to a show like this. Brandon didn't even mention that there was one out here. Didn't go to that, but at any rate, yeah, I just think, to each their own. I'm sure there's people out there that love them too, that want to go and have a good time doing it. It's to each their own. I just, that's one thing that I just, you know, if I'm going to buy something, I'm going to go buy something. But the other shows, at least if there's some training and stuff like that, it'd be cool. So at any rate, I think I'm going to go ahead and end the YouTube show. I appreciate you all joining. Make sure the link is below in the description below the video on YouTube. So make sure and jump over to Rumble, and we're going to have fun over there talking about Bidenomics and can't even say that with a straight face. Bidenomics and some of the stuff going on in France. I think there's a lot of around the edges stuff, how it sort of affects us here in the United States, or how it could, the similarities and all that. But with that, take care, everyone, on YouTube, and we'll hopefully see you over on Rumble. All right. So with this, I saw this. I don't know. I texted you right before our show tonight. I saw something on Twitter that just made me just freaking crack up. So I want to start it with this little this thing right here. It's just freaking hilarious. Let me put this on full screen. I don't know if you watched this or not, but it's funnier than hell.
All right, everyone. So it's Friday night. I'm getting ready to go out. I'm feeling kind. But before I go out, I've got a pregame. And the only way I pregame is with an ice cold Bud Light. So good. Ah, happy Friday. All right, everyone.
I've probably watched that like 10 times now. It's disturbing as hell, but it's almost par for the course with this administration, right? I mean, if he were to come out looking like that, his base wouldn't even blink an eye.
Well, you know, I think the thing is, you don't even know who dresses him anymore. I mean, does he actually dress himself?
I think it's
every time I see him go up there and have a gaffe due to his mental state, it's like you run the risk of getting locked up if you treated like one of your grandparents or something that way, right? It's like, dude, like in a way, Joe Biden was the youngest senator, like he's been in office forever, so I don't feel sorry for him, but I feel sorry for the whole way, like. It's like, dude, it's elder abuse, man. It's abuse of the mentally, you know, incompetent. Like he's not, you know, he's not up there doing. They're running things behind the scenes. So yeah.
Yeah. It's insane. And I suppose we'll get into, well, what I want to do first, we'll get into the whole Bidenomics thing, because he's going on his little tour, which is just ridiculous. But I wanted to, because I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this, but I thought this was, again, it's sort of disturbing like that video, but I saw this on Twitter and I thought our world has gone just batshit crazy, but this is a UK Cancer Trust suggests the word bonus hole as a alternative term for vagina. And this isn't some widespread like movement for everybody hole, but I thought how much can women take before they actually fight back on this crap? And I mean, it's funny that it's not funny that people actually think like this and like realistically think like, hey, you know what? Bonus hole is a good term for a vagina. Let's call it that and make everybody happy.
Give it time, man. You know, it'll catch on somewhere. Some mainstream media outlet, it'll catch on with them. And next thing you know, they're pushing it out there like, oh, this is the new term. Like, you know, just like a birthing person and stuff like that. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can say you're whatever gender you want to be. I don't give two rat's asses what you say, but like, stop trying to get everybody else to change what it actually is. Right. Like, you know, again, that's the whole freedom part, right? Oh no, I'm free to do my shit. Yeah. But you're not free to force me to say and play this double speak and all the shit out of 1984. It's just not the way. You know, I'm sorry. Like, no.
Yeah, yeah. If in your little clique you want to start saying bonus hole and you know, talk about males breastfeeding and all the just the insanity that goes on, you do your thing. But don't make it to where it's got to be pushed out and accepted by everyone else. That's the thing that drives me nuts. And it's things like this that just keep coming and coming and coming. And the administration just keeps, you know, rolling with it. I suppose sort of along those lines, we'll get into the whole Bidenomics thing.
You see the comedy skits that are going to come off of that, though? Woo, got a bonus hole. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I'm not going down this road. I'll get in trouble. But it's sort of there with the Supreme Court this week. We'll get into this, and then we'll get into the whole Bidenomics thing. But the Supreme Court this week basically went full semi-automatic on the Biden administration, right?
The Biden administration, like, a win for the, you know, for their side of the aisle and for everything. There was a win at the beginning of the week, and they came out and like, oh, look how great the Supreme Court is. A few days later, it's like, oh, look how terrible the MAGA court is. It's like, yeah, you know, when the wind blows their way, everything's good. When the wind doesn't blow their way, everything's not so good. And it's just like, it's the sore loser kind of stuff. And when you look at it, it's like, they're upset about the, you know, about the college admission stuff, and you can't use race. They're still able to use race in college admissions. It goes in your essay. You talk about how much of a struggle you had growing up, right? And what they don't want to talk about in there is the guy who brought it to the reason it went to the court was because some Asian kid who had a 4.65 GPA and pretty much maxed out all of his entrance exams couldn't get into school, couldn't get into Harvard and Yale. And he's like, well, why not? Well, we're doing this other thing over here where, you know, it's, oh, you're the Asians. We're not hooking you up. He's a minority too, if you want to look at it from minority status. So they're playing kingmaker with it. You know, and again, this goes back to, and I posted several times on social media this week about it, is on Twitter, not Facebook and all that stuff, but over on Twitter, is affirmative action is an excuse for the leaders and the rulers and the power class for not going into the inner cities and not going into places where kids are having problems and helping them rise above. They're not going in there and empowering these kids to be able to go into that test and say, hey, I actually did really good in school. I should get a slot in here because I scored a 1600 on my SAT and I had a 4.65 GPA, just like the Asian kid. See, they want to bitch about this stuff, but they don't want to do anything that actually is meaningful for helping those kids out.
Yeah.
Right. Whether it's kids in down, you know, on the south side of Chicago, south central LA, or somewhere up in Appalachia, however you want to say it, they're not talking about any of that. That never comes into the question. And if we look at how our you know, one of my big bitches with law enforcement over the years is, do we, you know, we want everybody goes, well, I don't know what, you know, what's going on. Well, hey, man, what do you expect after 50 years of affirmative action when the affirmative action, again, hasn't been uplifting people, getting people prepared to do well on the testing? The affirmative action instead is lowering the test requirements. Yeah. Oh, there was a thing on the radio out here just last week. LA Police Department, LAPD, has lowered all of its requirements to get on the LAPD. It's changed the written test. It's changed the physical standards, all to make it easier to get hired. And it's a mess. And that, so do we wonder why there's been a degradation in society with a lot of these jobs? No, and this stuff goes back to when I was testing for the fire department. The day I took my test at the fire department I ended up getting hired for, they changed the physical fitness standards of the test because they had no women on the job at the time. This is the late 80s, and they wanted to hire a woman. They changed the standards the day of the test to try to get the one woman they had to get her through the test. And I'm sorry, when somebody comes to your house, who do you want to come to your house when they're coming there to save your life? The person who couldn't pass the test and was like, well, we changed the standards, or the person who could do really well at the test? The military is doing the same thing. I just saw some board they had on TV where they showed all the different branches of the military out there, and half of them fuckers are fat.
Yeah.
Right. Like, no, I'm sorry. That's not acceptable. And so, you know, again, it's like, get people involved, get people to meet the fucking standards. We can do that. But what affirmative action does, it gives people excuses. It gives our leaders excuses not to go in and help people be the best that they can be. Remember the old army thing back in the day? Be all that you can be. Yeah. They're doing that shit. It's, hey, you suck. We'll change the standards to help you out.
Yeah. The one job that you shouldn't be allowed to be fat in is the military. I mean, you're defending the country.
Well, you know, and the thing is, because when things go bad, it was when I was in Ranger Regiment, our PT was nonstop. You know, the Army had this standard. You had to meet 60% of the Army PT standard to do stuff for the rest of the Army. If we didn't meet 100% of the standard, like we didn't max out the test, you're getting in a lot of trouble. It was going to be a bad day for you. And the thing is, when things go south, it's like prepping. What do we say, right? Everything you do up until a situation happens is called preparedness. The minute the event happens, it's no longer preparedness. It's time to take action. And if you're out of shape or you're not able to do the job, you scored the lowest on the test or whatever it is, when it comes time to act, that's too late. And if you do your job because they've changed the standards, well, you're screwed. You know, and so it's just ridiculous across the board. Again, going back to the education stuff, go help these kids out. Why are in our inner city schools suck so bad? Right? What are they doing with the money? Like, yeah. I don't know. When I was 18 years old and the first time I voted, every time I looked down the ballot, there was always stuff on the ballot. Oh, hey, we want to do this to give more money to kids, to give more money to schools. California, let's put the lottery in. They got the lottery in California back in the 80s or 90s. And what was that? Oh, we're going to give money to the schools. The schools still suck. Why is that?
Because it's all going to the administration and not the students.
They're giving it to their buddies. It's like we talk about the homeless problem, right? Like the billions of dollars they're putting in a homeless out here, very little that goes to the homeless. But you got people that are administering homeless programs out here making $200,000+ a year. You know,
there's a few things that happen that it's almost like justification as far as you know, at least for my conservative thought process, because You get told by this administration and you know, a lot of liberals that, hey, it's that dangerous thinking. It's that you're getting this information and you're getting whatever the hell that term is. So it's almost like justification that there's these Supreme Court justices who are all super freaking smart, know what they're doing, feel the same way about, you know, the racism that is affirmative action, regardless what people want to say about it or not, the school, the student loan debt stuff and all of that. So I think the the affirmative action crap is just, yes, there's been an unlevel playing field in this country, right, for a while. But that doesn't mean you pour grain alcohol into the gas tank and try to, you know, try to ram everything.
They don't want to fix the problem. Here's the problem. There's no, it goes back to the whole thing. There's no money in the cure.
Yeah.
If they fix the inner city schools and they fix the schools where kids aren't doing as well, and they work to make sure that every kid has an equal, not equity, but equal opportunity, then they don't have any pet projects to go and make this stuff happen. And hey, one thing that I know, like, it gets said a lot, is that the liberals are doing this. They're not the fucking liberals, man. Liberals, go back to what liberalism was in the 70s. It was about peace, love, pot, free sex, and all that good stuff. It was about stay the fuck out of my life, let me do my thing. It's the establishment Democrats that are saying that they're liberal. They're not fucking liberal because they're doing a bunch of Nazi shit. They're doing a bunch of oppressive, totalitarian shit. It's the complete opposite of liberal. Right. They're telling you what to think. They're telling you, hey, let's cancel you. They're telling you there's literally some out there. Oh, we should lock you up if you don't say the right things. So even though that's kind of been the thing that we've said for a long time, libertarian and all that, it's about freedom. It's about independence. It's about self-reliance.
Yeah. I said some liberals because there are some people out there that will, it doesn't matter what this administration does, they are on board hook, line, and sinker.
But they're not liberals. They're not liberals. Those are totalitarian, authoritarian. It's completely different than being, it's not Marxist? Liberal at all. because I think we have to call that shit out, right? Because the establishment Democrats and, you know, hey, for those of you who like the, you know, that side of the aisle, it's just as shitty as the establishment Republican side of the aisle. But the establishment Democrats, they keep trying to tell everybody they're liberal. They're fucking lying. They're gaslighting you. They're lying to you. They're not liberal because liberals don't want to lock you up for your thought. They want to encourage thought. They want you to read philosophy.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes a lot of sense. Yeah. But it's the pigeonhole thing that mm-hmm. we all get into. You got to label this or that. You got to label everything. So what are you labeling a person that thinks the opposite way that I do? You got to label them this or that. Yeah. And meanwhile, up on the top, the Democrats can, you know, say, do whatever they want, spin the narrative. Democrats, Republicans, all of them, the uniparty can spin the narrative and, you know, do all that crap. So I just thought it was pretty good. You know, some level heads, it seems like to me anyway, from my point of view, level heads coming out saying, no, it would be nice to forgive all that student loan debt, but that's not legal. How about not causing the freaking problem in the first place? Yeah, that would have been the idea.
You wouldn't know it. Not one. I sat down on Thursday and Friday, I guess it was, whenever they were coming out with the new, with these rulings, I watched a lot of the mainstream media flipping through channels, seeing what they're saying. And not one of those motherfuckers came out and said anything about reforming the college loan system.
Yeah.
No. Not one of them. So, hey, let's go pay off the debt so we can get all these other people right back into debt again.
Juice it back up.
So that way that their donor class, the higher education class that donates to these politicians can go keep getting their money. Nowhere then there. I mean, look at the cost of education and how much that's gone up ever since they put these loan programs into effect. And every time they come in and they do something to juice the college loan program, all the fucking colleges raise what they charge, right? And you know, it's the kids that are getting screwed because a lot of kids that have money, their families in these college loans, they're not struggling. There was some chick on Twitter that put out, and she's some influencer. Oh, this is all bullshit. And then people point out, dude, you just bought a $1.4 or $2 million home. And she's bitching that she doesn't have enough money for her loans. Who this is really targeting and hammering is the middle class and the lower class that need those loans. But they don't want to, again, they don't want to reform it. You know, the elite, the aristocracy, they don't have any problem paying back their loans. They're not going to worry about that shit.
Yeah. I tell you what, you want more minorities and stuff in colleges? Make that shit affordable. Because a lot of those middle, lower class people, when you talk about inner cities and all that, that's what makes up the population. So you want to give them an opportunity to step up, work their butts off and get things done? That would be the way to do it, but nope, you can't do that because there's too many pockets and too many hands.
And when you look at the constitutionality, it should be a state's thing, but every state should get on board. Every state should look at Georgia. Georgia does the Hope Scholarship Fund, and it's awesome. Like, if you meet the minimum requirements to get in there, it's not hard to meet. What you have to do is you got to maintain a good GPA, right? To keep getting your Hope Scholarship Fund, and you can get your college pretty much paid for.
Yeah.
Right. There are examples out there, but the federal, why doesn't the federal government want to do that? I don't know, because they make, because their donors are making money off this other shit.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. All right. So enough on that, I suppose. What I want to do is talk a little bit about, I still can't say it with a straight face, Bidenomics. And when I first saw him, and I cannot stand watching him on TV. So it's until however long it takes me to get to my remote and turn it off, that's about as much as I watch. But I saw him up there and I saw Bidenomics and I was like, oh crap, he's trying to brand something. This is what he's trying to do, is sell a product, right? He's trying to sell this turd of a economic plan. And that's good. He's going to be running on the whole economy because he knows it sucks. He knows he's getting blamed for it. But his plan, and you've talked about how trickle down is just a bunch of complete BS. Well, his is the opposite, basically. His is the middle class. You bring up the middle class and the lower class and everything, you know, all the cream rises to the top and all that crap. And to me, that's just as much a bunch of bullshit as the trickle down thing. It's all smoke and mirrors and how you talk about things. You've got people that talking about Bidenomics and how he's getting a bad rap because job numbers and this and that. And it's really, you know, a lot of this isn't his fault. You got a lot of people defending him about this stuff.
Sure.
My thing is, when I'm paying my bills, what I'm seeing on a daily basis, it sucks. I don't care about his numbers. I don't care about what he's done and what they might turn into in 5-10 years. I could give a shit about that. I give a shit about right now. And I think a lot of people do. Do you know any details basically about his whole
Bidenomics BS? Dude, anything that Biden says about economics is bullshit. That's the way I take it, because everything they say, everything that comes out of the White House, right? They come out and they go, oh, inflation's like down 4%. It's all great, right? It's down to 4%. They're not talking about the 12%. It's down to 4%, but it was 12% last year. So yeah. It means it's 16% inflation based upon the last 2 years under his leadership, right? Under his time in the White House, right? So, and his idea, oh no, we're going to empower the middle class. Fuck you. You're the same asshole that did all the PPP and all the different fucking loans during COVID. And where did you give those loans to? All the rich, all those people. They're the ones who got the loans.
Yeah.
You threw out a couple $600 checks to the people that were, you know, and said, oh, people don't have to pay their bills anymore for a little while. But all that money went into the upper class. It was the greatest transition of wealth in human history that happened during the pandemic. And those guys were all behind it. So was Trump. He was like, he signed off on that shit too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And so nowhere along the lines have, you know, and it you go back to people love Ronald Reagan, right? The guy who started the crack epidemics in South Central LA and other places. But right, he's the guy that came up with trickle down economics. Problem is, it doesn't make it from there down to the bottom.
Yeah.
Right. So anytime I hear this stuff, oh, you want to help the middle class and the lower class? Get rid of your stupid fucking tax system. How about get accountability for the federal government, right? Right? A balanced budget amendment. So we're not just spending billions of dollars. And I mean, dude, we just gave Ukraine another $500 million. Right? Like, you know, we got infrastructure crumbling. And so anything they say on this stuff is just 100% horseshit. Keeps coming out. Oh, we had the most employee, the most new hires or whatever in history. Cause they were all laid the fuck off for 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many different,
but they don't want to put that in there. Everything they say is like propaganda. It's like watching Russia back in the 70s and 80s talk from their podium. It's all bullshit. Like, we don't get an honest answer. We're 100% gaslit by all those people up in DC.
Yeah.
DC is like the most you want to talk about like the bonus hole. that's the asshole of the country. That's the asshole that hasn't been wiped properly, dude. It is such an evil cesspool of nastiness. Because again, it's all about empowering them and keeping them in power and enriching them. Four of the five richest counties in the country are right around Washington, D.C. Why is that?
Yeah, yeah. And Candy so said in the chat, Vice President Biden was worth $2 million. And as president, he's worth more than $10 million. I don't know what those numbers are, but yeah, it's his trickle-up account, his trickle-up economics. Even though he calls it Bidenomics, it's basically trickle up. What that means to me is more of the welfare state, more of the and I'm all for giving, you know, rooting for the underdog and helping the small guy out and helping the guy that doesn't have a chance. But where does all that shit come from? Where is it going to come from? And this is just, it's going to be more of that. It's going to be more of the social welfare programs that they can't control anyway. But we're just going to throw more money at it, sort of like the pandemic stuff.
With the social
sort of like the billions of dollars that just disappeared, that was supposed to go to Ukraine. You know, it's same type of shit. This money comes from us.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't come from us though. That's we think that the money would come for us for social programs.
Well, it's going to cost us more.
Well, it's going to cost us more in inflation. The money would come from us for social welfare programs if we had a balanced budget. But what do? We're operating under modern monetary theory. And if you haven't read up on modern monetary theory, go look it up. It was invented in 2008 by a college professor to basically give credence for how our government's been operating for the last 20 years. And it states that under modern monetary theory, a government should never be constrained by lack of funds. A government should always print whatever money it feels necessary for whatever reason it feels necessary. And then when the pain from having too much money in circulation, because what does too much money in circulation mean? Inflation. The pain from having too much money in circulation is removing money from circulation. And they say that like in this way, like, oh, we'll just pull money out. How do they take money out of circulation? They take it out of our ass. Increase taxes. Inflation is a tax from either an inept or a corrupt government. And so all this inflation we're dealing with, the price at the gas pump, the price at all of food that you're paying, all that stuff, that's how they're removing they keep the money out of the system. The increased interest rates that the Fed has raised up to whatever it is now, 6 and change, 7%, somewhere in that ballpark, right? That's taking money out of the system. That's taking money out of the system of people who don't have cash to buy a house, like all the people who have a ton of money. Right? Where's that coming from? That's coming from the middle class. It's coming from the lower class when people want to buy a new home, right? Rents have gone up through the roof, right? All that is taking money out of the system to account for all the money they're printing under the modern monetary theory. So whenever I hear this stuff, well, we got to push more money here and there, they're making it up. They're literally printing the money, or they're adding X's, you know, ones and zeros to the banking system, and then they're running with it.
Yeah, yeah. We'll still, the middle class and upper class and all that, we'll still end up paying for it, because that's a perfect excuse to increase taxes. And I don't know exactly, because there is so much spending going on, I don't know exactly the minuscule amount the taxes add to the government coffers or whatever. I don't get why it's such a big deal. I'm sure there's somebody out there that does. I'm not an economist or anything, but
what do you mean you don't get why it's such a big deal?
Why they're hiring more IRS agents? Why they're you know, willing to lock people up in jail? They'll send billions and billions of dollars to the Ukraine. They'll do all these different things, but when it comes to paying your $162 in taxes, they're gonna garnish your paycheck. They're gonna do whatever it takes to get that money, including and up to put you in jail, depending on the amount.
Remember, the money we're sending to Ukraine, where's that really going? Well, we don't know where a lot of it goes, right? But where's a lot of that money going? It's coming right back to us. And I don't mean us, like you and I.
Yeah.
It's coming back to the military industrial complex. Those weapons they're sending over there, those weapon systems, those aren't free. And you want to bet, I mean, dude, I worked in the government contracting space, right? I've worked on billion-dollar programs, right? I ran a billion-plus-dollar program. You know what happens when that stuff gets pushed up before goes back to the government? Oh, the government wants to buy these things, and they have to get this stuff right now. the CEOs and the senior leadership of those companies come and say, oh, tack an extra 10% on that. They're all making money hand over fist. The donor class is getting a ton of money out of Ukraine. So all this stuff, when you look at it, that's what's where all this money's going.
Yeah.
It's enriching them. It's empowering their buddies.
Yeah. Kenzie in the chat was talking about shrinkflation too. And that's another way we get hit, because first you have inflation and then you have the companies that want to maintain that price point as much as they can. So they cut down on the product. So we're getting hammered one way or another, whether we know it or not. You go to the store and if you see a pound of meat's a dollar more expensive, you get all pissed off. But if you see that 3/4 of a pound of meat is the same price as it was last week, although it was a pound last week, then you're not, you know, or they keep the box of cereal the same size to make you think you're getting the same thing.
Look at the amount of food that's in some of these packages. I picked up one the other day and I was like, and the same size packaging that, you know, from a year ago or whatever, pick it up. And it's like, that's weird. And it was like, where it used to be like a 10-ounce package, it's now like a 8-ounce package. It was like nuts or something like that. And so, yeah, shrinkflation is definitely a thing too.
Yeah, you were talking about how an inept or corrupt government, that's the only reason for inflation, but it's built in, and it's probably this way in a lot of different countries. It's built in to the way the Fed runs the system. Inflation is, because when they took over, every year it continues to go up and up and up. I saw something on the news today. They were talking about the cost of a 4th of July meal is going to be down 70 or 17 cents or something like that. And it was like, just last year, it was up 20 some, but this year it's down 7 or so. I think it was like 24 cents or something, but this year it's down. So it's good news. So all in all, you know, we're up 17, 18 cents, but that's okay, because it's cheaper than it was last year.
This is like, you know, this is like the final game of the football season. Right. Or baseball, like when you're playing park league or something, where the two worst teams are playing against each other. Both have gotten their ass kicked all season. Neither are moving forward. But the one team that squeaks out a win runs out there and spikes the football like they're the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah.
Right. That's what they keep doing. It's like, oh, yeah, look, the cost of a 4th of July party's come down. Now, I don't even know if they're having 4th of July parties out here in California right now, because they put some environmental thing in about fireworks. So the Rose Bowl, which has always had an epic fireworks show, now canceled it and they're doing a soccer match because something to do with the environment. Like, literally just can't. That stuff came out this week.
That's insane. Yeah. Yeah. Bidenomics. I mean, that's just it's stupid. It trickle up economics, whatever, you know, whatever it turns out to be. And maybe there is some, you know, some, even with, you know, Reagan's little plan, I'm sure there were some things that did turn out positive, but there's things that were negative. I'm sure there's going to be things that turn out positive with this, but the bigger the government is, the less better, the least better off, or however the frick you say that, the worse off we are as American citizens.
Let me
the
ask
bigger
you,
the government, the bigger the welfare state, the bigger the dependency on the government, it doesn't help us one bit. So, and that's what they're going
well,
for.
Well, here's a question. You mentioned something to the effect of, yeah, I'm sure something good will come out of it. Yeah, for Biden and the elites and the uniparty.
Yeah.
Right. Like all those people, something good will come out of it. But for the rest of us, no, we're not even third or fourth. We're probably third or fourth at best to the trough when they think about, you know, the American people, when they think about like who benefits from this stuff. Again, if they were really truly concerned with spending and everything else, they would have a balanced budget amendment. They'd have the balanced budget every year. They'd come out with a budget. Here's what we're doing. But they don't want that because they don't want transparency. You know, they want to be able to poke each other and say, look what, right? And the other side says, well, look what they're doing. It's all part of the game. It's why Dan Crenshaw beats out Nancy Pelosi on level of insider trading, you know, on congressional trading that's going on, dirty congressional trading. You know, that guy's out there like, oh, no, I'm all Mr. fucking Republican and everything's great. And yet, you know, he's step ahead of Nancy Pelosi on the list of the most, you know, the people who benefit from the most from congressional trading.
Yeah, yeah. And this crap's happening everywhere. You know, Kansas up in Canada, you know, same. I guarantee you the same thing's happening there. Out in France, which we're going to pivot to here, out in France, guarantee you the same type of crap happens out there and all these other Western countries and all of that. But it's until Now, France is, you know, it's not the people of France necessarily rising up against the government, although they are pretty pissed off. But until the people decide that, you know what, you're full of shit, we've had enough, you better fix your shit or we're going to help you fix it.
I mean, but, dude, look at Canada, right? Let's talk about, you know, like a colony of France or whatever. Look what Canada did, right? Remember, go back to the trucker strike, shutting people off from their bank accounts. Yeah. Again, it's this authoritarian shit that's running rampant around the world in a lot of places.
Yeah. And going back to Kanzi too, and I don't want to make this the Kanzi show, but he sent me a thing saying his brother was a trucker and they did seize his account and he's in court now trying to get some of that back. They still have to try to get his money back. What's that?
Spending money to try to get his money back.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So, hashtag freedom.
Yeah. All right. So with this, I don't have a specific tweet, but I want to get your thoughts on what's going on in France, because my understanding of it right now is that there was a teenager that was shot. He was Algerian Muslim or something like that. And people just started flipping out. And this has gone absolutely insane. And it's even, you know, started in other countries. And I guess the European Union is sort of like a collection of states. That's kind of how I think of it. If there were like five or six states on the Eastern Seaboard, that's basically the European Union. But what do you know about how this started and what's going on and all that?
I talked to a good friend of mine today that I did a bunch of work with overseas, and he grew up in France and Germany. His mom lives in France. I was like, hey, man, give me the download on what's happening. So here's the deal. The French have their like drug enforcement cops that work like they're not like a DA. They're like they work in like local precinct kind of things. And I guess they have a long history of being abusive and different stuff. Well, apparently they went out and there was this kid that they're talking about, this Algerian kid, that I guess the kid was a scumbag, right? He's always been a problem child. Like they just know like this kid's been a pain in the ass. So they go to arrest this kid or something like that. And at some point they let him go or he starts walking towards his car and they have a video on it. And one of the cops just pulls his gun out and just blasts this dude. Like the kid wasn't a threat. Wasn't pulling out a weapon, all this stuff. And so, someone got it all on video, post it. And next thing you know, this is what's going on. They're going bananas over there. The thing with France though, is, I mean, 2 months ago, right, France was rioting over, which you've seen a little bit of these riots happen, and you've seen a little bit on the mainstream media here. You didn't see the last set of riots, because the last set of riots they had about 2 months ago was France raising the retirement age to, I think, 62. Never showed it over here because, oh, France was rioting because, you know, the French are rioting because that retirement age is 62. We should probably get our riots on over here because they're trying to raise it to like 70. I think it's 67 now. And they're trying and they've talked about raising it again. Right. So you didn't see that, but now you're seeing this. So sounds to me like you had a scumbag who's always been a scumbag and the cops basically were being scumbags in the way they handled him. The cop shot the kid and killed him. And so once the video got out, now you're seeing the result of it. But it's going bananas over there, right?
Yeah, now. And to me, it seems like sort of like the same type of situation or similar as the Chauvin situation. But you watch the reaction over there compared. I mean, and it was bad over here, but it was. I don't want to be like CNN and say more controlled or anything like that, but you watch out there and it's insanity compared to some of the things.
Well, I think it depends on what we're really seeing on the media, right?
Yeah. That's true.
When you're in the middle of a riot, you know, the riots that were in Minneapolis, the riots were around the country. Like there were plenty, you know, I don't recall the one Dorn or something like that. The one retired law officer who had a pawn shop or something was trying to protect his pawn shop and got killed, you know, in the riot and stuff like that. So, you know, but they're getting their riot on over there. And at the same time, they've had a problem, right? Immigration problem that they've let go bananas over there. And, and part of the thing with the Muslim communities over there is they basically have like put them into these areas where they're just walled off. Like literally sections of Paris, that's pretty much walled off. And it's like, we don't, you know, they let them kind of do their own thing. Well, now you sit, have seen the video and are pissed off. And so this is the, you know, kind of the result of that. I think we're running into a thing where, you know, people are so pissed off about the way our governments have been running for so long that it doesn't take more than a little bit for any one side to lose their shit.
Yeah.
Right. And to go bananas on something. And I think you see that over there as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost expected though, because when you start bringing in just tons and tons of immigrants, and we're sort of doing the same thing here. You just open the floodgates at the southern border and let everybody in. You're going to have conflicts like that. And then when something like this happens, because they feel like, and are treated like second class citizens because they are the immigrants, you're bound to get that. But that's the problem you face when you have this please all everybody mentality. We've got to be these humanitarians. We got to do this. This is the right thing to do. That's the right thing to do. Sometimes you've got to be the adult in the room and say, I'd love to help. We'd love to do this and that, but you know, we just can't. And then you're not put in it. And I don't know what the details are with that, but then you're not put in a situation of having to choose to, hey, in order to be able to house you, we're going to have to shove you in this corner over here. But it's better than, you know, Nigeria or wherever the hell you came from, at Middle East or, you know, pick your place, Mexico or whatever. But you're going to have those tensions. And then you've got the people that already feel like, and I'm sort of talking about us Americans, you got us that already feel like that we're being just forgotten about and walked all over. You've got those tensions right there. So, I mean, it's.
it goes back to if you invite people over to your house, you say, hey, I'm having a Christmas dinner. And you have a can of Spam and a half a thing of, you know, day old breads from somewhere, and you invite 30 people over to your house. Right. Because when you bring in immigrants, right, if they don't have any ability to provide for themselves, I mean, look at what we're doing in here. Right. We're bringing people in, and like, we have the ability, like, if you want to let people in, we have the ability to issue them all guest worker visas if our nation wanted to. But they don't want to, right? They want to keep them in the shadows. Nancy Pelosi wants to get her fucking grass cut for 10 bucks a day or 20 bucks a day or however much it is, right? Like, nobody, they don't want to do anything about it that would regulate it, that would get people under control, that make sure, hey, we'll make sure you're doing okay, right? They have the same problem. And, you know, hey, let's not make no mistake about it. A lot of the reason why the immigration problems in Europe are happening is because our fucking around in the Middle East for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Right? That's caused a bunch of it. But again, you go back and like you said, you create these, you by the way you don't manage the problem or the situation, you create a problem. And that's what they have going on in France.
Yeah. You know,
at the point where our societies are, I don't see this stuff not happening more and more again and over because they're compounding the problem on the one side. And they're not doing anything to relieve it on the other side. And it's like a balloon that just keeps filling up. It's going to pop eventually.
Yeah. I think it's also more dependency on the government. Creating those people that are dependent on the government, and maybe not as they cross the border, but you look at what Obama did with the Dreamers and all that. So maybe a few years down the line, you just decide all these people that flooded in for the last decade, we're just going to give them, you know, legal status. And who are those people going to vote for at that point? It matters one way or the other these days, but.
You mentioned the Dreamers, right? Don't forget when Trump first got into office, one of the things he did was offer the Democrats for the wall. He was like, hey, how about all you give me the wall, I'll give you the Dreamers. Like, we'll let them all become citizens. No, we don't want that. They don't want the Dreamers to get citizenship because it gets to be a divisive rod every time they go into a new election.
Yeah.
Right. You know, you mentioned earlier about like the stuff they do. You mentioned the IRS thing, right? Hiring employees. Dude, all those IRS agents they want to hire and put on the job, every one of those becomes like a slave to the establishment, and they will vote the way of the establishment. That's why they want to increase the size of the federal government. It increases their authority, increases their power, increases the people who won't say no to Washington, D.C., who are like, oh, no, Washington, D.C. is the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah, yeah. It's I mean, it's I don't know. We say this all the time, and you guys even talked about it on your show last week. Is like, where does it all lead? And you're like, I have no freaking idea. But it sure does seem like it's to that point where it's it's almost too much. But at the same time, if we, you know, you think about how Rome went from a republic to a dictator, willfully went to a dictatorship, it, you know, we could be going that direction before it even gets bad enough for people to actually get up. As long as they let us maintain our daily lives, our, you know, our conveniences and all that, people aren't going to bitch too much and they're going to be able to do whatever they want. So if that means bringing in this, you know, right now we get to vote, right? And that was air quotes for those listening to the podcast. We get to vote and choose and all that stuff. But what if, you know, it comes to the point where they're just like, you know what? We're just gonna do away with this, and we're gonna go ahead and pick the guys that we think you guys want, something like that.
Well, they kind of do already, right? Well, here's the thing. I was talking with a buddy of mine yesterday about, and it's really interesting the voter demographics right now. Out of like 100% of voters, 49% identify as independents right now. 25% is Republicans and 25% is Democrats. I don't think that we've ever seen that in the country. It's a staggering, you know, it's a staggering demographic when you think about it. You have this pool of 50%, which goes in alignment with the last election. Because even though it was like the largest number of votes supposedly that were cast in history, 50% of the people didn't vote in spite of how fired up that election was. 50% of the people were like, eh, you know what? And why wouldn't they vote? Why would people not vote in that election? Because they're like, neither of these guys represent me. Like, I don't like either of these guys, right? And so I think we're running at this thing where if you see a viable third party and people get behind them, maybe that's the RFK Jr. thing or whoever, right? People get behind them, Vivek Ramaswamy or, you know, Tulsi Gabbard kind of people, right? I think that it has a chance to really throw a monkey wrench into the establishment problem. The problem is when they get in there, whether you like Trump or don't like Trump, right? You can see what happens to a person that gets in the office that the uniparty, the establishment, doesn't like.
Yeah.
Right. Like, what are they going to be able to accomplish? They're going to go after
him. Yeah.
And nowadays, I mean, you know, they're trying to impeach Biden right now. Something that was like the nuclear option kind of thing for, you know, our entire history. Now every president is going to get impeached if they don't control the Congress.
Yeah. 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 That's the way it all goes. That's the one thing that drove me. Well, there's a few things that drive me nuts about Trump, but the one thing is if he had his mind set on something like the whole Hillary thing, lock her up. Crap that he gets so much crap for. He let that go in a New York second. Never really wanted to do that. That was just a campaign promise. But he wanted that wall so bad that he, like you were just talking about, he's willing to give away everything, give away anything, just to get my, because I want my wall done. And that's his, just even more narcissistic than most politicians are.
I kind of like the idea of the wall. You know, I've never, in all the countries I've worked in, every country takes its borders seriously.
Yeah.
Right? Like they all take their borders seriously. You have to.
Yeah. You wouldn't think that'd be such an issue. The
country, man. So I don't know, you know, overall, like how effective the wall would be, but it's not like it's completely ineffective. And again, take the money you're spending on like transporting people all over the country and doing shit to actually put a good immigration program into effect so you can process people. You can figure out, hey, because right now the problem is they're letting everybody in. And how many shitheads, and when I say shitheads, I mean like military level trained terrorists could be coming across that border. And if people don't think it's happening, you've lost your fucking minds.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take, you don't need thousands to cause a lot of problems, right? A few bad apples can really cause us a lot of problems in this country.
Yeah.
And a harm caught, you know, like to people, and it's a mess. And the fact that our government across the board doesn't do shit about it, they don't give a fuck about us.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you think about it, there's, you know, I don't know, you know, if it's true or not, but North Korea, something like that could, you know, if they had some sort of plan together. You think about the 9/11 stuff where it was like 7-8 dudes. I can't remember how many it was, but you get those people with a plan. You get them snuck through. That would be the best way to do it right now under the radar, whether that's from China, from, you know, Syria, you know, pick your shithead country. You get those people in from those countries. Hell, even Saudi Arabia. But, you know, we'd never blame them for that. But you get those people in from those countries, they could do a lot of damage. And it doesn't take an army to do something like that. You take out a couple power stations or disrupt, you know, just things in strategic places. You don't have to, you know, have 5,000 troops coming in.
It was 19 9/11 hijackers.
19 of them?
I believe is what
it was. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I guess the different, a bunch of different planes. And
at least two or three, maybe more that were CIA assets that were working for the Saudis.
Yeah.
That we know that, which is why we never, like, you know, we toned everything down on the 9/11 commission report because we didn't want to piss off Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. It's. So.
Hey, real quick, because we always forget. Hey, everybody, please smash the like button. And if you like the show, hit the subscribe over here on Rumble, because we always forget to mention that and we always try, but definitely hit this like button for the show. It helps out the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And we are live. We try to be here every Sunday at 7 o'clock Eastern time. And then we put out the podcast. I try to get the podcast out the day after that, the audio version of this show. Sometimes I'm a little late, but it's a day or two after that. But it really does help out. Helps us continue to grow, and that's what we need to do, especially since we decided to abandon the machine of YouTube and come over here. We decided to take the hard road.
Actually, I think this is the easier road, man. YouTube censors you, and shuts you down. This we're seeing a lot better things happening over on Rumble, man. I think it's a much better platform for freedom and speech and all that.
Yeah, it's definitely less stressful, and it's freeing, because we can have, we were talking about this before the show today, we can have these conversations and not have to worry about this or that, and just have the conversations about it, you know, right or wrong, one way or the other. We can talk about it and not have to feel like we're restricted, or a month down the line find out you said something that was fine back then and now all of a sudden it's not fine. And then you get the hammer of God, the hammer of the YouTube God coming down on you. So we'll just play by ear over here.
It's about freedom, man. It's about freedom, right? Like, I don't care if people have different opinions than me. Good. I hope you do, because everybody, you know, obviously the world would be perfect if everybody thought the same way as I do. But since it can't be perfect, right? I love having conversations. I love people who have differing views. That's what makes the world go around. I'm not always right. You're not always right, right? None of us are always right, but, like, hey, let's all get together and have conversations and let everybody be entitled to their views. That was one of the things, you know, with the Supreme Court kind of stuff, right? There was the woman who sued over the website. She didn't want to have to make
Christian Baker,
a custom made website for, you know, because she was religious for gay people. And you know who was it? Roberts, I think, is who wrote the opinion, who's pretty libertarian. And his whole view was like, hey, the price of freedom, we've said it on the show a bunch. I know people talk about the price of freedom being the blood that soldiers shed and all that stuff. And that's part of the price. But the price of freedom, like a free speech, is being uncomfortable listening to someone else say what they're entitled to say because it's a free fucking country.
Yeah. And yeah, that was another one that I had seen that was, you know, sort of, I thought was sort of a win for common sense, because don't go there. If it's somebody that doesn't serve, you know, your needs or, you know, fit your values, don't freaking go there. But, you know, you get these people out there that will either have that experience and then all of a sudden it becomes I've got to do something about this. I got to become an activist. Or they go out and search that stuff out. They find out that it's a Christian owned website, and you get these activist groups or whatever say, hey, go ahead and, or whether it's the Baker or the website thing, go ahead and try to get them, make sure they know you're gay, and try to get a website made and see what they say. And if they,
well, you got to protect the other people on the other side, right? That's like saying that somebody's going to go force a gay person to make some website that's anti-gay, that goes against everything that person believes in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, come on, man. Like, you know, it's silliness. We're playing fucking games, right?
Yeah, well, those two things, I mean, that's a really, really tough one, because Christians, the Christianity thing and the gay thing are two diametrically opposed. I mean, it, regardless of what people say, if you are truly a religious person, follow the Bible, they're two separate things. But there is the freedom of religion, and at the same time, you need to be respectful of other people. So there's got to be some give and take with all this crap, but at the same time, it can't go one way or the other. And it is going to be one of those issues that's a really tough issue for a long time, or it better be that a really tough issue for a long time to come, because they are two, you know, diametrically opposite viewpoints and all that. But at the same time, it is about the freedom. It is about somebody saying, I'm not, this goes against my beliefs, so I'm not going to do that. Sort of like you were talking about, where if the coin was flipped, it would be the same. Although in the LGBTQ BTQ community, whatever it is, you basically get away with anything you want. So you could be a man dancing around the streets in your underwear, flapping your balls around to little kids, and that's fine as long as you know.
Yeah, that's not the whole community though, because there's organizations, Gays Against Groomers. There's a bunch of, you know, stuff like that. Again, it's about not pushing the envelope. So, you know, it's like, dude, there's certain things that we shouldn't do, right? And don't force me to have to say that, you know, a woman is not a woman, right? Like, I'm sorry. Like, in my view, you can pretend that you're a purple fucking unicorn for all I give a shit. But at the end of the day, you're born with fucking chromosomes. This whole thing that you're assigned sex at birth is bullshit. You're born what you're born. And if you don't feel comfortable in your own skin, that's a whole different deal. But don't try to tell me, you know, that you have an XX or an XY and I got to call you something that's completely not related to that. Bullshit.
Yeah. Brandon in the chat said, how is discrimination a win for freedom? It's it absolutely is. That the freedom of speech, that allowing the KKK to say whatever the hell they want is absolutely a win for freedom, because just because they can say it doesn't mean that we have to believe it and all that crap. Just because that woman doesn't want to, you know, make the website or whatever, just because a business doesn't want to let certain people in or something like that, it's up to us to call that out and say, you know what, we're just not doing business with you. We're not, it's up to us to call out people like the KKK, but to smash that and say that they can't say the things that they want to say is just more restriction after more restriction after more restriction. So I think it should be up to us as people to go out and tell those people to shut the hell up. You're an idiot. Knock that shit off.
How is discrimination? I shouldn't be forced into doing something that I don't want to fucking do.
Yeah.
Right. And if you could, and I'm not a religious person. I'd have no problem making up a fucking website for gay people. I really don't give two shits. But if it's against my religion, it's against my core values, telling someone that they have to do it, go fuck you with your shit. Yeah. Say, trying to throw that shit that's discrimination, Brandon, go fuck off on your shit. Dude, you're a great dude, but sometimes you come up with some weird shit, man. That it's not discriminate. You can't force somebody to do something they don't want to fucking do. This isn't like you're going out there and saying, hey, I ain't letting you use a fucking drinking fountain. It's saying I got to sit down and program you, because part of the Supreme Court thing was that they said if it's applied to custom websites, not if you got some generic off the fucking shelf website that you're unboxing, you're pulling up, oh, here's my website. You're not forcing somebody to do something that's against their fucking values. That's what a fucking authoritarian dictatorship does. Put a gun to someone's head. Hey, you know, work will set you free. Get into Auschwitz and go walk out and do your work every day, dickhead. That's the kind of shit that authoritarians do. And trying to couch that shit is fucking freedom. Is bullshit.
Yeah, what was that? I forget who said it. I can't remember his name, but he's like, first they came after me, then they came after this, and now they're
actually a Catholic priest.
Oh, was it? Yeah. And it's the same type of thing. We as people should be smart enough to police it. It's sort of like the whole racism thing back in the 30s and 40s. That back then, these days, we live in a completely different world these days. So if the same shit were to happen today that happened back then, us as citizens would probably take care of that shit without the need for government intervention, right? Whether that's by boycotting the business, whether that's by, you know, that business would be out of business or whatever, or maybe just non-existent, burned down or whatever. But society has changed so much, and that's not the fault of the federal government. That's the fault of the people growing up and seeing that there's a bunch of bullshit going on. So I think we can handle this shit. Yes, there's going to be turds all over the place, but you got to allow them to say what they want to say.
Well, you mentioned the KKK, right? Like, and the Nazis. More like, I can't think of more fucking abhorrent groups of people. Right. When I was working as a paramedic in Georgia, I had to transport this guy from one hospital to get a heart cath. Right. They're doing some heart work on this dude across the street. Had to transfer him across the street. And I saw he had a ring on his finger. And I'm like, what's that? What's your ring? And it looked like a Masonic ring. And I was interested in it. No, he was like a fucking grand wizard for the fucking KKK. Like, well, I hope if the blood that I don't get any black blood, I'm like, I might get a little fucking rhythm in your step once in your life, dickhead. Like,
yeah,
the fact that I detest that motherfucker, I want them to be able to say what the fuck they want. One, it highlights them, right?
Yeah.
As long as they're not inciting violence and shit to be committed on other people, fucking hashtag free makes me uncomfortable. I don't like it. It pisses me off. That's the price of being fucking free, right?
Yeah. And you're free to tell that person.
I'm free to fucking hate
you're
that
a dumbass piece of shit. Yeah, yeah. And I think we've grown as a society to the point where it's completely different than it used to be. And we'll evolve and all that crap later on too. I just don't think you. I think just keep the damn government out of the bullshit and. Don't all these laws and these restrictions and you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, all of that. Eventually you're in this little freaking cage, and this is your little rule book. You're carrying around your little rule book. It'll be on your phone, though, your tracking device, of things you can and can't do, can and can't say. And then we're
demolition, you know,
man. Yeah, it's the opposite of what this country was founded on. So at any rate, that was I think what we'll do next week is we'll talk a little bit about RFK, and you talked about Remit. What's his name? Vivek Ramesi or something like that?
Vivek Ramaswamy.
Ramaswamy, yeah.
Because like, if you're looking for some people to listen to right now to see what they're, you know, to be like, hey, I'm trying to figure out, like, you know, who you're aligning with when it comes to politics, who you might vote for. Look at those two, man. Go listen to them. I mean, one's, you know, a Democrat, one's a Republican. But they have some good shit that they're putting out there and that they're saying, right? And, you know, everybody hammers RFK because he's, you know, he's hard on the vaccine stuff. He tells you all the time he's not anti-vax. What he is, he wants the due diligence done on these vaccines and to make sure that we're doing the right thing by him. But it's worth going and listening to. And RFK, if you want to, like, get some stuff on the whole candidate, that came out on Friday. Did you see that? What came out on Friday? Joe Biden basically nixed that. Oh, we're not going to release all these RFK, JFK assassination documents. That was on Friday. Yeah. 4th of July weekend, freedom. No, we're not going to let you 60 years after the fact. We're not going to let you know that the CIA killed a president.
Killed Kennedy. Yeah. But there are some interesting people out there.
Yeah.
Far more interesting than the Yahoos that are, you know, leading the field right now. And I honestly, I've heard some things about from Ramaswamy. I've heard some things from JFK. Tulsi Gabbard, of course, but I don't know. But I'll tell you what, the DeSantis probably establishment get in there and just
DeSantis fired or got rid of his entire campaign staff that got him into the governor's job pretty much here like a few months, I think a couple months ago. And all of his, like, his senior campaign advisors now are like former Bush people, former Cheney people, former all the Rhino, former uniparty establishment, really? Republican side. Yeah. If you've noticed, there's been a tone. He's had a change in his tone and everything. Right. So, like, he brought all those people on board. And so
he's getting ready to make some money.
He's going to try.
Get into the, yeah, again. Become the president and make millions and millions of dollars. Yeah. Yeah. I know that. I'm just not all that excited about anybody that's running and in the government in general, but definitely 100% not Joe Biden. Kamala Harris, I think I read something. She's got the lowest approval rating of a vice president in history or something like that. She is one step above worthless.
I don't think she says anything. Like, you don't hardly ever see her anymore. I think she just hangs out, you know, at the vice president mansion or wherever the hell she stays at.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to, let me see if I can, before we get out of here, I want to see if I can find this on my, I saw this with Pierre. Oh, this one thing right here. Let me share this tab. This is, since it's happy 4th of July to everyone, but you remember this, this is last year in California.
Oh yeah.
When Newsom said no fireworks, or maybe it was 2 years ago, 2020, 3 years ago. Jesus.
Dude, I mean, I'm 15 minutes from downtown LA and somebody has been lighting off. Like, it sounds like there's sticks of dynamite.
Yeah. So it shows you that America is still breathing a little bit. This is what I wanted to show you though. This is freaking hilarious. From the Babylon Bee, John Pierre throws smoke bomb and disappears when asked about Hunter Biden texts. I was like, that's what she, instead of going, I mean, that would be better, right? She just fucking poof. I'm out of here, bitches. So I thought that was funny. But I love Twitter, man. It's interesting and insane all at the same time, but there's some funny shit. That Biden thing was hilarious. But at any rate, do you have anything else tonight, Brian?
No, I think I probably run my mouth and said enough shit yeah. for one night.
Yeah.
Got my weekly docent.
Oh, and we forgot to talk about the whole Patriot Act thing, so we'll have to wrap that into next week's episode, too. We'll do that as well as the whole presidential election thing. But with that, everyone, appreciate y'all joining in tonight. Brian's throwing the things up on the screen. Make sure to like, subscribe, share, all that good stuff. Thanks for watching the shows. Thanks for listening to the podcast and all that. But until next time, take care and prepare. We'll talk to y'all later.
Bye, y'all.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Survival Preppers. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you never miss an episode. And don't forget to join us on YouTube for our weekly live shows. For more information or to connect with Duff and Dale, visit thesurvivalpreppers.com or thebugoutlocation.com for members-only content and prepping courses. See everyone next time.